Right, good morning. Today's daf is Zavachim daf Tzadi Zayin. We left off Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, all the way down at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Today we are going to cover essentially two topics. We're going to learn two Mishnayos today with the associated Gemara, part of the associated Gemara of the second Mishnah. The first Mishnah is going to talk about what happens. So we have learned already about the Halacha of Mariko Shtifa, that if you cook Kachim in a pot, that pot requires Marika or Shtifa to get rid of all of the blios of Nosar that may be left over in the pot. And we're going to learn about a machlokas, what happens if it's Yontif. And so you have a bunch of people being Ola Regel, and there are a bunch of pots that are being used to cook a bunch of karbanos, because there are a bunch of karbanos brought on the Regel. So what happens? Do you need a Marika Shtika every day? Do you need a Marika Shtifa only after the Yontif? We'll see that machlokas. We'll see more about the mechanics of what exactly Mariko Shtifa is. We've been saying Mariko Shtifa. We saw already yesterday a machlokas of whether they're both Bitsonein or whether Mariko's Bechamen and Shtifa's Bitsonein. And now we're going to talk about where exactly on the pot you're doing the Marika and where you're doing the Shtifa, because it sounds like they're the same thing, but they're not really the same thing. They're done to different places on the pot. The Mishnah on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens if you cooked two types of meat in the same pot. So either you cooked kachim kachim with kachim kalam in the same pot, or you cooked kachim and chulin in the same pot, whether the less chumer one now has to take on the associated chumras of the more chumer one. And we'll see that the answer is it depends. The Mishnah appears to be giving us contradictory guidance, so we're going to have to resolve exactly what the Mishnah means. We're going to talk a little bit on Sadi Zayin Amud Beis on the topic of Asei Docha Lo Sasei or Ein Asei Docha Lo Sasei Shebem Mikdash. So that itself is an interesting sugya. And then we're going to talk about the drusha of a bunch of the drusha of a couple of psukim. That's going to take us to the end of the daf, and frankly, that topic is going to take us into tomorrow's daf, all the way to the end of the perek. But we left off Sadi Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon Omer. Rabbi Tarfon says like this, Bishul Mitchilas HaRegel, Yivashel Bo Kol HaRegel. If you started cooking in the Tchilas HaRegel, if you started cooking in a pot at the beginning of a Yontif, you could cook in that pot the entire Yontif, even without doing Marika or Shtifa. And Rashi points out, after Yontif, you do the Marika or Shtifa. The Gemara is going to explain, how do I get away cooking a whole Yontif without doing the Marika or Shtifa? If I'm cooking a piece of carbon meat on the first day of Yontif, that's going to become Nosar either the next day or the day after, depending on what type of carbon it is. So how is it that I'm allowed to cook for the entire Yontif without doing Marika or Shtifa, according to the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon? But the Chachamim disagree. V'chachamim omrim ad zman achila, that you're allowed to, that you must do the Marika or Shtifa ad zman achila. So we'll see in the Gemara, a machlokas, whether this means ad zman achila, meaning until after the zman achila, or ad zman achila means before, at some point before the zman achila of that korban that was cooked in the pot is set to expire, you have to do the Marika or Shtifa. We'll see the nafkamina is, are you doing the Marika or Shtifa after the meat already becomes nosar, or must you do the Marika or Shtifa before the meat becomes nosar? But the Chachamim fundamentally disagree with Rabbi Tarfon. They say you don't have a dispensation to wait until the end of Yontif. You got to do it on a regular basis. Now, what is this Mariko Shtifa that we've been talking about? Mariko Shtifa, Marika Kamarika Sakos. The Marika, which is what we define as purging, is like the Marika Sakos. Vishtifa Kishtifa Sakos. And Shtifa is like Shtifa Sakos. It's rinsing of a kos. And Rashi explains, Marika Kamarika Sakos, all the way on the bottom, Mibifnim Kikos Shel Bracha. What type of cup are we talking about? So we're talking about a kos shel bracha, a kos that we're using for kiddush, berachas hamazon, where we say in Maseches Bracha, shaton hadacha, bifnim, v'shtifa b'chutz. So we know that there are a bunch of halachas that are taught to us in Maseches Brachas regarding a kos shel bracha. One of them is that the kos requires hadacha. Hadacha is rinsing from the inside. The other is that requires shtifa. Shtifa is like our shtifa here. It's rinsing from the outside. So the Mishnah then says, Marika shtifa b'tzonein. Marika shtifa is is with cold water. We should just mention parenthetically that we just brought down the Shita of Rashi by Marika Shtifa. The Marika is on the inside, Shtifa is on the outside. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that both Marika and Shtifa are on the inside. None of them are on the outside. And the Rambam's rationale is, what's the purpose of the Marika Shtifa? The purpose is to get rid of the blios of Noser. And where are the blios located? They're located on the inside of the pot, not on the outside. And therefore, it requires all of the rinsings to be done inside, according to the Rambam. Rashi, clearly, as he says over here, disagrees. So, back in the Mishnah, Marika Shtifa Bitsonein, Marika and Shtifa are both done with cold water. Hashpud v'ha'askela mag'ilan b'chamim. However, if you have a spit, or you have a grill which is used to roast the meat of the karban, you could do a hagala with hot water. So Rashi over here just points out askala is gardili, which is, sounds pretty much like a grill. Vitzolin alav tzali, and that's what you roast the meat of the karban on. Okay, so says the Gemara. So my time at Rabbi Tarfon, what's the rationale behind Rabbi Tarfon Shita that if you're cooking in a pot over Yontif, you're allowed to go to the whole Yontif without doing Marika Shtifa, and you only do Marika Shtifa after Yontif? I thought the purpose of the Marika Shtifa is to prevent the Blias of Nosar from going into the pot. But now the Blias are going to be there because I'm not doing the Marika Shtifa until all the way after Yontif. So my time at Rabbi Tarfon, the Amar Kra, he has a foundation in a Pasuk, Upanisa Baboker, Valachta Laho Alecha, that it says in the beginning of the Pasuk, it says, Uvishalta Viachalta Bamokam Ashayivcha Hashem, you should cook, you should eat in the place that Hashem told you to go, in the place that Hashem chose. Elokecha Bo Ufanisa Baboker Valachta Valecha, and in the morning you should go home. So what boker are we talking about? So Akosa Vaso Lukulan Boker Boker Echad. So the Pasuk views the entire Yontif as a long day. How do we know the Pasuk is viewing the entire Yontif as a long day? All it says is that in the morning you should go home. Rashi points out, Upanisa baboker al karchach boker shalchol kamar v'kari boker rishon. We have to be talking about the boker shalchol because we're talking about people going home after Yontif. You have to stay in Yerushalayim all Yontif. So if the people are going home already, that means that it's got to be the boker after Yontif. And Tosfos over here points out, Tosfos, the second Tosfos on the page, Ufanisa baboker, perish bekuntris, al karchin boker shel chol kamar. We're talking about the boker of after Yontif. Bekori le boker rishon. But lagabe this halacha, it's considered to be the first morning. Bekasha, says Tosfos, but I have a kasha, dilma biyontif. Maybe it's talking about Yontif. Aye, how can you go home? You can't go outside the tchum. Answers the Gemara, we could go on shalom b'tocha tchum. Maybe he lives within the tchum. Vafilu teima lomar deboy rias panim biyom rishon shemevi karbano mikom makom yesh lomar lamachroso shu cholamoed. So still, even according to the Madi Amar, says that the day you bring a karban, you have to say in Yerushalayim, maybe the next day you're going home. Maybe it means that you're going home on cholamoed. How do you know that it means you're not going home until after Yontif? And so kol zayim minale, how do you know that it means that you're staying there the whole Yontif? V'nir lefaresh demashma le kulu boker echad mishum de kulu zayin tashlume derishon the chagiga yeshla tashlumen kol zayin. So he says that if you were using the terminology of boker rishon, it makes sense that it's the first morning after Yontif, because legabe a certain halacha, all of the days of Yontif are viewed as a unit. Legabe wad halacha? Legabe the halacha of tashlumen, meaning I'm required to bring a chagiga, a korban chagiga on Yontif. If I don't bring the korban chagiga on the first day of Yontif, which is when it's supposed to be brought, I have all Yontif long to bring that chagiga. So since all 7 days of Yontif have the status of the first day, legabe tashlumen, therefore it makes sense when it says boker rishon, it's not talking about chol hamoed, because Chol HaMoed has the same din as Yontif, Lagabe the Tashlumen. Rather, it's talking about after Yontif. So this is the Makor in the Pasuk for the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, that if you're cooking in a pot on Yontif, special allowance for Yontif, you don't need Marika Shtif until afterwards. So Maskefla, Rabbi Chadboi Bar Ami, V'chi Ein Pigel Beregel, Vein Nosa Beregel. This makes sense. That you're telling me that I don't have to do the Marika Shtifa until after Yontif. The whole reason why I have to do the Marika Shtifa is to get rid of the Noser Blios. Is there no halacha of noser that applies on the regal? Of course there is. So why is it that I don't have to do the merika shtifa until after yontif? Says the Gemara, v'chite machinami, and if you want to say maybe enechinami, there is no halacha of noser on the regel. V'atanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, but we have an abraisa that Rabbi Nosson says, lo omer Rabbi Tarfon elazu bilvad, he didn't only say this, ela k'rav Nachman omer Rabba Baravua, dama Rav Nachman omer Rabba Baravua, kol yom v'yom nasa gil l'chavero. So what he's saying is, no, there obviously is a halacha of pigol. There is a halacha of noser on yontif. Elamai, why can you get away until after yontif before you do the merika shtifa? Because he has a chiddush. Each and every day that you're cooking in the pot, it's like a gil. It's like doing a hagolah on the prior day's blios. So the reason that you don't have to do the merika shtifa until after yontif is because you're cooking with a pot constantly over yontif, and the cooking with the pot itself serves to kasher the pot. How does that work? So we have to look in Rashi. So Rashi says, Nasa gil l'chavero, about five lines down in the skinny lines. So says the Gemara like this. That mitok shashlamim mitsuyim beregel, because there are so many karbonos shlamim brought on yontif, ein balua el shela nase nosar. The blios of the shlamim that are cooked in the pot will not become nosar. Why? Sharezman shlamim lebeis yamim, because the time to eat a karbon shlamim is 2 days. Right, it's 2 days and a night. V'chi mevashel beis shlamim o idna. Let's say I cook a shlamim in the pot today, meaning that the blios of that shlamim are going to turn into nosar tomorrow at the end of the day. But tomorrow during the day, I'm going to cook another shlamim in the pot. So the pot is going to take in the blios of the shlamim that I'm cooking tomorrow, and it's going to spit out the blios of the shlamim that I cook today. And basically, the blios that are going to be left in the walls of the pot are the blios of the karban that is the one that's cooked last. So the one that was cooked previously is going to be spat out, and therefore there are no blios of nosar remaining in the pot. Shena balidei nosar. Now, Rashi says, that's all good if I'm cooking shlamim. So I'm cooking one karban each day, and the next act of cooking is going to expel the old blios from the pot and allow new blios to enter. Vimbal lavash al chatas. Now, what if a person cooks a chatas, that the zman achilas chatas is yom v'layla? So I'm going to have to cook another korban that day. So he says, "Oy zar lavash al achrov shlamim bo bayom upole tes chatas obele as a shlamim." Not a problem. If you're going to cook a chatas, just make sure that you're going to go cook another korban in shlamim in that pot that day, and therefore the blias of the chatas are going to be expelled. The blias of the shlamim are going to be taken in. No problem. Then you keep on having until the next day in order to then you're going to be able to keep on going until the next day without doing the merika shtifa, because you're doing the hagala with the actual cooking. The achronim are bothered. Well, what happens on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook anything, and then by Sunday, by the time you're allowed to cook, it's going to become noser, because you're cooking on Friday. You're not allowed to cook anything on Shabbos, and by Sunday, the shlomim that you cooked already on Friday is going to be noser, and it could be. So first of all, you could answer that maybe this holds, like maybe if you actually cook on Friday, you will require merika or shtifa after the zman achila, like the chachamim say. So it could be that. So yeah, you have to work out how you could get away with this whole racket of not doing a merika shtika until after yontif if you have a Shabbos in the middle of yontif, because then in echanami you're not going to be able to facilitate the blios being expelled simply by cooking. The Achronim also work on that even if we say that the blios are expelled and then other blios are taken in, they're still in the pot. So how does it work that they don't become nosar? So they say that it works because it's a function of what's called not bar not. It's no saint tam bar no saint tam. In other words, it's not a very strong nesinas tam. It's a much, much weaker nesinas tam. And therefore, we have the ability to be makil by the marika or shtifa. That since we're weakening the nesinas tam because we're causing the blios to be expelled from the walls of the pot, even though they may still be latent in the pot, on Yontif, we are able to be makel and say, you don't have to do Marika Shtifa until after Yontif. L'chadchila, the rest of the year, we would never rely on this because there are going to still be some sort of blios in the pot, even though they're weakened. They're not totally extinguished like they would be had you done a Marika Shtifa. So says the Gemara Vayter. The Chachamim argued on Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon again had said that you don't have to do the Marika Shtifa until the end of Yontif. The Chachamim said, no, no special dispensation on Yontif. You got to do the Marika Shtifa at the Zman Achila. Says the Gemara, my Kamar. What are the Chachamim talking about? When is this? So Rav Nachman, Rabba Baravua, Mamtim La Ad Zman Achila. V'hadar Avid Le Marika Ushtifa. That you wait until the Zman Achila. And then you do the Marika or Shtifa. So says Tosfos over here. Tosfos jumps on this right away. So Tosfos says that all the way on the bottom that Mamtim Lem calls Manachila v'hadar Oven Marika Shtifa ain lefarish the Marika Shtifa kodem shiase nosar kadei shelo yavo kachem leves apsol da mashma hacha to la achar zmanachila v'hadar Marika Shtifa, because Tosfa says over here it's mashma that if you're waiting ad zmana, that you're waiting kol zmanachila. Do you see Tosfa says a different girsa? Our girsa in the Gemara is ad zmanachila. Tosfa's girsa is kol zmanachila. So according to Tosfos' Girsa, that you're waiting the entire Zman Achila before you do the Marika Shtifa, that means you've already waited out the entire Zman, and you're doing the Marika Shtifa after the Korban already becomes Nosar. So that's what Tosfos says, but then Tosfos says, Amiyu yesh form de garsi mamtim lu ad Zman Achila. But there are some Sfarim, and this is the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, it's the Girsa that Rashi has, that we wait until the Zman Achila, meaning before the meat becomes nosar, we're already doing the Marika Shtifa, so we're not letting it become nosar. Alright, so minani milisa, how do we know this? Back in the Gemara, so Rav Yochanan mishama bar Yossi bar Abba, so says Rav Yochanan, the name of Abba Yossi bar Abba, so his name must have been, either his father died before he was born, or his title must have been Abba Yossi, because his father's name was Abba, Ksiv Umorak Vishutaf. Uksiv kol zocher b'kohanim yochel. So it says, on the one hand, you have to do Marika Shtifa. On the other hand, it says that there's a chiyuv for the male kohanim to eat a karbon. Okay, tzad, what do you do? Mamtim la ad zman achila v'adar avad le Marika Shtifa. So what you do is you wait until the end of the period of achila, and then at the very end of the period, but before the meat actually becomes nosar, you're going to do the Marika Ushtifa. Says the Gemara now Vaita, Marika Kamarika Sako, Shtifa Kashtifa Sako. So we had said the Marika is rinsing the cup on the inside, Shtifa is rinsing the cup on the outside. So Tanu Rabbana Marika Shtifa Bitsone Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe, which is our Stam Mishnah, had said that Marika and Shtifa are both done with cold water. V'chachamim omrim, and the Chachamim say, and this Shita we saw already yesterday, Marika v'chamin v'shtifa b'tzonin, that Marika is with hot water, Shtifa is with cold water. So my time at the Rabbanan, so why do the Rabbanan say that Marika is with hot water? Midi d'havi aguli ovde chachavim, because it's like giol, it's like the koshering process of the kalim of ovde chachavim, that just like the kalim of ovde chachavim is with chamin, and as the pasuk points out, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, you have to bring it through chamin, you have to introduce it to heat. So too, Marika Shtifa, if the purpose is effectively to kasher the kalim and make sure that all of the blias of nosar are gone from the kli, it's got to be with heat. It's got to be with hot water. So that's the reason for the sheet of the chachamim. But Rebbe Yamar Lecha, and Rebbe will say Hagala Lo Kamina. I'm not talking about Hagala, Kikamina Lamarika Ushtifa. That the Basar Hagala. In other words, I don't disagree that in order to kasher the kli, I need hot water. And basically, what this is saying is, according to Rebbe, Marika Ushtifa isn't a substitute for Hagala. It's done, this we already saw yesterday, it's done in addition to Hagala. That first you're going to do the Hagala Bechamim to actually kasher the Kli. And then to rinse out the Blios, you're going to do the Marika Ushtifa Bitsonein, the Marika on the inside of the Kli and the Shtifa on the outside of the Kli. V'Rabbanan and the Rabbanan. So Im Kain, Lichtov Kra, O Morak Morak, O Shutaf Shutaf. But the Rabbanan will say that if it's true that Marika and Shtifa are with the same type of water, that they're both betzonein, so why does it say umorak vishutaf? Let it say umorak morak or shutaf shutaf. The point is, you got to rinse it twice with the same type of water, according to Rebbe, because it's all done with cold water. So according to the Chachamim, the reason that you're changing the Lashon is because the first time is with hot water, the second time is with cold water. So it's teaching me that the two rinsings are very different. But according to Rebbe, they're both done with cold water. Why does the Pasuk change its Lashon? So says the Gemara, say, Im Kain, Lichtov Kra, Umorak, Morak, Ashutav, Shutav, Mai Umorak, Vishutav, Shmamina, Marika, Bechamim, Vishtifa, Bitsonein. No, so it teaches me that they're qualitatively different. Marika is with hot water, Shtifa is with cold water. V'Rebbe, and Rebbe will tell you, Iksiv Morak Morak Havamina Trezimni Morak or Trezimni Shutaf. L'kach Kasuv Morak V'Shutaf. Lomar L'chak Marika K'Marika Sarkos Shtifa K'Shtifa Sarkos. So Rebbe will give the somewhat obvious answer, which is, even though according to me I hold that both the Marika and Shtifa have to be with cold water, the Pasuk still has to change its Lashon and say Umorak V'Shutaf. Why? Because, what did I tell you? The Marika is Kamarika Sakos, it's from the inside. Shtifa is Kashtifa Sakos, that it's from the outside. So, in other words, the answer is, had the Pasuk used the same Lashon twice by Marika or Shtifa, I would have thought that both of the rinsings should be on the inside, or both of the rinsings should be on the outside. Kamash Malan, the Pasuk uses different Lashon to teach me that one rinsing is on the inside, and one rinsing is on the outside. Okay, so let us see the next Mishnah. So the next Mishnah says like this. So Bishul bo kachim v'chulin. Let's say if you cook kachim and chulin in the same pot. O kachim v'kachim kalim. Or you're cooking kachim and kachim kalim in the same pot. If there is a no saint tam over here, and no saint tam stam is echad b'shishim, so if one sixtieth is mixed in, and therefore that's enough for the more chomer type of meat to give an asinas tam to the less chomer type of meat, that happens to be a machlokas rishonim. If this chumra of no saint tam is shayach only for a din d'oraisa, or if it's even shayach for a din d'rabbanan, or it could be that for a d'rabbanan, it could be that this is only a chumra mid'rabbanan, but on a d'oraisa level, we would say that bittul applies barov. So there's a machlokas whether bittul on a d'oraisa level is 1/60th echa b'shishim, or if bittul on a d'oraisa level is rov, and the 1/60th is a gzeira d'rabbanan. But whatever the case is, we're saying if there is no saint tam, hakalim ne'cholim k'chamurim shabam, the kalim are eaten with all the stringencies of the chamur. And Rashi points out, what does it mean, the chamur? So Rashi says, lifnim na'klam, liyom v'layla. In other words, it depends what type of carbon. If we're talking about a carbon that's eaten for a day and a night, that means that even the meat that wasn't carbon meat, because there was an asinas tam from a carbon, you got to eat it during the zman carbon. You have to eat it in the azara, like all of the chumras of the meat. Ve'ena tunin marika shtifa, and it doesn't require marika or shtifa. And Rashi says it means it doesn't require marika shtifa l'sof zman achilaso chamurin el l'sof zman achilas kalim. That it doesn't require marika shtifa after the time period for eating the more chamur of the two. It requires marika shtifa after the time period for eating the more kal of the two. Uvigmar parech my kama harei yesh ben benos ein tam harei amar kalim nechalim kachamurin. The Gemara is going to ask, what in the world are you talking about? You just told me that if there's a sinas tam, then the kal has all of the halachos of the chomer, meaning that it should require marika shtifa after the zman achilas chomer, not the zman achilas kal. So the Gemara is going to deal with that. And Rashi, and the Mishnah says, Vayter, the ain poslin b'maga, and they aren't pasul b'maga. So what does that mean? So Rashi again explains, im nifsulu akalin, if the kalin became pasul v'naga b'em basar, and then touch a third piece of meat, ubolam em ein nifsalim, b'gemara mefarishla. All right, so the halacha is that if a karban becomes pasul and then touches another piece of meat, that piece of meat that the korban touches takes on all the stringencies of the korban meat. Now, what we're saying is, if the korban meat touches another piece of meat in the pot, and so that pot, that other piece of meat only has derivative kedusha, and then that other piece of meat touches a third piece of meat, then that same halacha won't apply. But again, we'll see you about this in the Gemara. Rukik shenaga barukik. If you have a pasul of mincha wafer that touched a kosher mincha wafer, and we have to be talking about when the wafers are hot, because blios are only imparted when food is hot. It's not imparted when food is cold. So if you have a hot mincha wafer that's pasul that touches a hot mincha wafer that's kosher, v'chaticha b'chaticha, or a chaticha touches a chaticha, a piece of meat touches another piece of meat, lo kol rakikin v'lo kol chaticha sasurin, not the entire rakik, not the entire chaticha is going to be usur, ela eina usur ela b'makom shebala. It is only usur to the extent of the place where the blios went into. So in other words, a piece of meat touches another piece of meat, the only part of the second piece of meat that's contaminated is an etzpa's shear, is the sheer etzpa of meat, that the blios don't permeate the entire other, let's say you have a 3-pound piece of meat, it's not going to permeate the entire piece of meat, it's only going to reach the thickness of one etzpa. So says the Gemara. So my kamar. So what are we talking about in this Mishnah? In Miyesh Baba no Saint Tam, we said that if there is no Saint Tam, then akalin nechalin chamurin, then the kalin are eaten with all the stringencies of the chomer, v'tuna marika shtifa, and they should require marika ushtifa uposlin b'maga. And they should pasul b'maga. And Rashi points out that they should require marika shtifa kedin hachamurin, and they should pasul b'maga again kedin hachamurin. Because you told me that if there is no Saint Tam, if there's a Sinas Tam, then the kal has the same status as the chomer. So why are you telling me that the kal doesn't require marika shtifa when the chomer does? The kal isn't pasul b'maga like the chomer is. This is self-contradictory. If there's a Sinas Tam, it should have all the halachas of the more chomer one. Ain't b'hem nesinas tam, so that's why we're basically reinterpreting the Mishnah. If it has nesinas tam, then yes, it requires marika shtifa. Yes, it's pasul b'maga. Ain't b'hem nesinas tam. If, however, there is no nesinas tam, ain't akalan echalan chamurin, then the kalim don't take on all the halachic stringencies of the chamur one. The ain't tuna marika shtifa. It doesn't require marika shtifa after the zman of the achilas achamur. The ain't poslim b'maga, and it's not pasul b'maga. So says the Gemara, need the kachim kachim la boy kachim kalim ni boy. But even though they don't have the status of kachim kachim, they still do have the status of kachim kalim. And Rashi says that this is talking about the marika shtifa. We said that if there is no nesinas tam, then it doesn't require marika shtifa. The question is why it should require marika shtifa after the zman achilas kachim kalim. Madach, it doesn't understand. It doesn't need marika shtifa after the zman achilas kachim kachim because we're not going to take on all the stringencies. But it should still require marika shtifa after the zman achilas kachim kalim. So Amar Abaya, Abaya says, "Yeah, nechinami, my aim to an end to kamar kachim kachim, aval kachim kalim to unim." You're right. It means that it doesn't require marika shtifa after the zman achilas kachim kachim because there was no nesinas tam. But it would require marika shtifa after the zman achilas kachim kalim. So says the Gemara. So Rav Amar, Rava says, Hamani Rav Shimoni, maybe we could say that this is Rav Shimon, Demar Kachem Kalim, Ein Tuna Marika Shtifa, who says, yeah, the Mishnah is accurate when it says Ein Tuna Marika Shtifa. Aye, we ask, why does it require Marika Shtifa on account of the Kachem Kalim? Maybe we're holding like Rav Shimon, who says that Kachem Kalim don't require Marika Shtifa at all. It's only kachem kachem. So good, you have kachem kachem mixed with kachem kalim. If there's nesinas tam, it's going to take all the halachas of kachem kachem, therefore it requires marika shtifa. If there is no nesinas tam, it's not going to take on the status, therefore it doesn't require marika shtifa. Says the Gemara, bishlam ala Rava. I understand according to Rava, hainu diktani, o kachem kachem, v'kachem kalim. I understand why it says, kache kachem or kachem or kachem kalim, because it's the same. I understand bishlam alarava. I knew the kani o kache kachem and kachem kalim. I understand why it lumps everything together, because they both require marika or shtifa after because when kache when the kachem are mixed with the chulin, if there is no nesinas tam, then you're not going to require marika or shtifa because there is no halacha marika or shtifa by chulin. If, however, the kache kache mixes with kachem kalim, then you're going to require nesinas tam. Then you're even if there is no nesinas tam, you're going to require marika shtifa after the zman achilas kachem kalim. Ela la Abaye, but according to Abaye, who says that we're holding like Rav Shimon, who says that there is no marika shtifa by kachem kalim, tarte lamali. Why do I need both of these cases? The halacha is that whether the kachem is mixed with kachem kalim or whether it's mixed with chulin, if there is no nesinas tam, there is no marika shtifa, because he holds that kachem kalim doesn't have marika shtifa. Says the Gemara, tzricha, we need both cases. Di kantana kachem mechulin. If I only learned the case in the Mishnah of kachem mechulin, hava mina chulin udumavatli kachem dela minayu. I might think that only chulin has the power to be mevatel kachem, because it's considered min b'she'en amino, because the chulin is not considered the same min as the kachem. Aval kachem kalim v'kachem, aval kachem kachem v'kachem kalim, emalo. But I might think by kachem kachem and kachem kalim, since they're both kachem, the kalim can't be mevatel the chumras of the kachem. V'tana kachem kachem v'kachem kalim, avamina kachem u'da'alime levitule kachem. Aval chulin emalo tzricha. And if we would have only had the halacha of kachem kalim being mevatel kachem kachem, I might think, yeah, only kachem has that power of bitul. Chulin wouldn't have the ability to be mevatel kachem, kamash malon. It does. That's why we break it up into two cases, even according to Abaye. Says the Gemara, second to last line, Tanu Rabbanan, kol ashar yiga, yachol afilu shalabala. I might think that the halacha is, if the meat touches another piece of meat, then boom, then it imparts all of the stringencies, even if there was no blios. Tamalomar bivsara. It says bivsara. Ad sheyivla, turning over to Tzadi Zayin Amabez, ad sheyivla bivsara, that until there are actually belios on account of the negia. Yachal naga b'mikshas chaticha yekula pasol. I might think that if a piece of kachem meat touches, if a piece of kachem meat that's pasol touches another piece of meat, that the entire thing is going to be pasol. Tamalomar yiga hanogea pasol. So okay, Tzad, so how does this work? That all you have to do is cut off the place that accepted the blios from the pasul meat. And what is that? We had said on the Mishnah that that's the shear of an etzba. So you cut off a finger's thickness of meat, and then you're allowed to eat the rest of the meat, no problem. So says the Gemara, chotech hazavakam shabala. So bivsara, so now we're going to darshan the pasuk. Bivsara, so the alach of blio supply, velo begidin, only by basar, not by gidin, not by the sinews, velo batsamas, not by bones, velo bekarnayim, not by horns, velo batapayim, not by hooves, yikdash, and yikdash lios kamoa, that if the piece of meat touches another piece of meat, then the one that was touched, the second piece, becomes like the first piece. Okay, so I don't want respect. Impsulai tifsal, that if it was a puzzle, a piece of meat that touched another piece of meat, then the second piece of meat is going to become puzzle, just like the first one. Vim ksheirei tochal kachamer sheba, and if the first piece of meat was a kosher piece of meat, but it touched the second in a way that imparted the blios, then The second piece of meat is going to have to be eaten in accordance with all of the chumras. In other words, it's going to have to be eaten in accordance with the chumra of achatos or the chumra of inasham. And depending on what piece of meat touched. The chumra of the achatos is that it's eaten only in the azara, it's eaten only for zichrei kahuna, and the chumra of the shlamim, I said asham, but I meant shlamim, the chumra of the shlamim is that if the piece of shlamim meat was already cooked yesterday, then you have to eat both pieces of meat today during the day, because the zman achila shlamim is l'shnei yamim v'layla echad. So if this is day two, you don't have the next night. Even though achatas meat is eaten l'yom v'layla, we have to eat this meat with the stringencies of a shlamin. So says the Gemara, Amai, why do we say that they have to be eaten kechomer shebehem? Or I'm sorry, Amai tifsal mishum haipurta. Why do we say that Rashi, that's the way Rashi explains, why do we say that the meat that's touched by the pusel of meat becomes pusel itself? Nesiach tzei velitche es losa say. Let the assay come and be docha the los assay, because the assay is divi ochlu osam de ksheira, because there's a mitzvah assay to eat kosher carbon meat. Velidche is los assay to los ochal to psula, Rashi explains. Viaflagav dika los assay bachilas psulin, kadarminim bepsachim, mechal shah, kosher bekodesh puzzle, because of litain los assay alachiloso. There is a los assay for the achila, but why doesn't the assay of eating carbon meat docha the los assay of not eating the pusel of meat? So marava ein assay docha los assay shemim mikdash. The reason is because ein assay is not docha los assay shemim mikdash, and kachim is considered to be mikdash, and therefore ein assay docha los assay. Why isn't an assay docha los assay shemim mikdash? Because the mitzvah assay is a manifestation of avas Hashem, and mitzvah los assay is a manifestation of yiras Hashem. Outside of the base of Mikdash, asay docha los asay, because love trumps fear. However, in the Mikdash, there's a special halacha of es mikdashi tira'u, and therefore, in the Mikdash, fear trumps love, and therefore, the los asay cannot be nidcha because of the asay. Okay, says the Gemara Viter. Amar Rava, ina say docha los asay b'mikdash. Shenemar, how do we know that b'mikdash asay is not docha los asay? Shenemar ve'etzim los ishperu bo. It says that you're not allowed to break a single bone of the carbon pesach. Reb Shimon Menalsi Omer, echad etzam sheish b'moach, that applies whether the bone has marrow, ve'echad etzam sheim b'moach, whether it doesn't have marrow. Amai, b'frek the Gemara, why? Senesi asay v'litcheis los asay, that the mitzvah asay to eat the carbon pesach. This bone has marrow in it. The marrow is considered to be part of the carbon. So let the mitzvah asay to eat the carbon pesach come and be docha the los asay of etzem los ishperu bo. Ela ein asay docha los asay shem mikdash. Elamai, it's got to be that an asay is not docha los asay shem mikdash. Tosfa says, why in the world should the asay of eating the carbon pesach be docha the los asay of breaking the bone? The only time that the assay is docha los assay is when they occur be'idna, is when they occur simultaneously. Here they're not occurring simultaneously. First you're violating the los assay, and then you're going to be fulfilling the assay. So the answer is that we have to say that if the only way to perform the assay is through the violation of the los assay, the only way to get to the marrow and eat it is through the breaking of the bone, then that has the halachic status of be'idna. It's considered to be simultaneous because one can't possibly happen without the other. All right, says the Gemara Vayter. Ravashi Amar Yikdash Aseyu. Now, Ravashi says that eating the pusel of meat is not only a los asay, there's also an asay, because it says yikdash, and yikdash aseyu vein asay dochas los asay vesay. And the halacha is that even though an asay might be docha los asay, an asay cannot be docha los asay and an asay. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Ashkechan chatas to miskadesh b'volua. I understand that chatas imparts its kedusha through belios. Shar kachemin alon. How do I know that this applies by other karbanos as well? Amar Shmuel mishum Rav Elazar zos haTorah, because it says zos haTorah, and Rashi points out hukshu kulan ze lazeh. All of the karbanos are compared to the other. Lilmod ze al ze, to learn from one to the other. Lekach hukshu kulan laola demaola tunin. So in other words, all the karbanos share halachos with every other karban. And now we're going to embark on a brisa that's going to teach us how, even though there are certain halachos that are written only by one karban, because of the Zos HaTorah Riboy in the Pasuk, we learn that that halacha applies not only where it's written, not only to the karban that it's written, but even to all sorts of different karbanos. And the karbanos that are mentioned, and we'll conclude with this, is Zos HaTorah, La'ola, La'mincha, La'chatas, La'asham, La'milum, La'zevach, La'shlamim. And let's break over here. And now we're going to darshan in the Gemara starting tomorrow. Li'ola, what halacha we learn by Ola, how we know that halacha applies everywhere else. Obviously, the reason that this is brought down is because the halacha of Chatas is that it imparts its kedusha through the blios, and just like it applies by chaltas, it applies to all other karbanos. So we'll pick up here, God willing, tomorrow.